Welcome to Zichud Al Siman, member of Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechaz Erev and Daf Pehe. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. Bor sheben shtei chatzeros mufleges mekosel zarba umekosel zarba. Regarding a water pit between two chatzeros, if the edge of the pit is four tzfachim away from each wall, ze motzi ziz koshu memale veze motzi ziz koshu memale. Each chatzer can put out a slat of any size from its wall and then fill their pails with water. Rav Yehuda himself, however, holds that afil kanya, even something less noticeable than a slat like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that is separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an erev. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an erev. Abai said to Rav Yosef that Rav would not require any reminder, for Rav said, Ein adam oser al chavero der chavir. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents do not have access to the pit by foot, but must draw the water by way of throwing. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hanosin es eruva bebe shar aksadru merpeses eno erev. In one place it says erev in a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, it's not a valid erev. Vadar sham eno osro lav. And one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chatzar from caring. An eruv chatzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the chatzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the chatzer. The Mir explains that the portico and the gallery are not considered dwellings because they don't have walls, and that the gatehouse is not considered a dwelling since residents of the chatzer are constantly passing through it. Rashi explains that someone living in any of the above places does not restrict use of the chatzer and does not need to contribute to the eruv. And point number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, a group of neighbors who were eating a meal before Shabbos began, which Rashi clarifies to mean all of the neighbors of a chatzer or mavli, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there, without having joined in an erev or shitov. They may rely on the bread that's on the table for an erev, and others say they may rely on it for a shitov. Tosfos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis explains that since the host served them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and is therefore valid as a contribution to the Erev. Rav said there's no dispute between these two rulings. One was referring to when they were eating in the house and the other one was referring to when they were eating in the chatzer. So once again, the 3 points are number one. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Bor sheben shtei chatzeros mufleges mekosel zarba umekosel zarba, regarding a water pit between two chatzeros. If the edge of the pit is four tefachim away from each wall, ze motzi ziz koshu umemale veze motzi ziz koshu umemale. Each chatzer can put out a slat of any size from its wall and then fill their pails with water. Rav Yehuda himself, however, holds that afil kanya, even something less noticeable than a slat, like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that is separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an erev. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an erev. Abai said to Rav Yosef that Rav would not require any reminder, for Rav said, Ein adam oser al chavero der chavir. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents don't have access to the pit by foot, but they must draw the water by way of throwing. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Hanosin es eruva beishar aksadru merpeses eino erev. If one places his erev in a gatehouse, a portico, or a gallery, it's not a valid erev. Vadar sham eino oser alav, and the one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chatzer from caring. And eruv chatzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the chatzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the chatzer. The Miri explains that the portico and the gallery are not considered dwellings because they have no walls, and the gatehouse is not considered dwelling since residents of the chatzer are constantly passing through it. Rashi explains that someone living in any one of the above places does not restrict use of the chatzer and does not need to contribute to the erev. And point number three, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, B'nei chabur sheyem musumin, a group of neighbors who were eating a meal before Shabbos began, which Rashi clarifies to mean all of the neighbors of a chatzer or a mavui, v'kidesh alein hayom, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there without having joined in an erev or shita, pas sha'al ha'shulchan somchin alehem mishum erev. They may rely on the bread that's on the table for an erev, v'amulam mishum shituv, and others say they may rely on it for a shituv. Tosos on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis explains that since the host served them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and it's therefore valid as a contribution to the erev. Rabba said, there is no dispute between these two rulings. One was referring to when they were eating the house and the other one was referring to where they were eating in the chatzer. All right, so now we go to the siman for Daf Pei Hei, and the siman is a peh, is a mouth. But we use a dentist to make it a little more distinct. So a dentist working on people's mouths, that's our siman, a dentist. So here goes. The neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzer as they were walking through the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. Once again, in slow motion. The neighborhood dentist. Dentist, that must mean we're in Daf Peh, hey, Peh, mouth. The neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water, which reminds us that regarding a water pit between two chatzeros, if the edge of the pit is four tefachim away from the two walls, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that each chatzer can put out a slat of any size from its wall and then fill their pails with water. Rav Yehuda himself, however, holds that even something less noticeable than a slat, like a reed, can be used. Rashi explains that since the pit is in a path that's separated from both chatzeros by a wall, giving them no direct access to it, it doesn't require an Arab. Putting out a slat or reed to permit drawing water from it on Shabbos is to serve as a reminder that access to a jointly owned area is usually only permitted with an Arab. Rav holds, Ein Adam Osro al Chavero der Chaver. A person cannot restrict his fellow in an area only used by him by way of air. In this case, the residents do not have access to the pit by foot, but must draw water by way of throwing. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contain a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzer as they are walking through the gatehouse, which reminds us that if one places his Erev in a Beis Shar, an Eksadra, or a Merpeses, it's not a valid Erev, and one who lives in one of these does not restrict the other residents in the chatzer from caring. And the Eruv HaChatzeros must be deposited in one of the dwellings of the chatzer, symbolizing the designation of that house as the common dwelling of all residents in the chatzer. Someone living in any one of these places doesn't need to contribute to the Erev. The Eksadra and the Merpeses aren't dwellings because they don't have walls, and the Beis Shar, the gatehouse, is not considered a dwelling because people are constantly passing through it. So the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzer as they were walking through the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. Which reminds us that if all the neighbors of a chatzer or mavui were eating a meal together before Shabbos began, and Shabbos came while they were sitting there without having joined in an Erev or Shituv, they may rely on the bread that's on the table for an Erev. Tosafos explains that since the host served them bread to eat, it's as though it's theirs and is therefore valid as a contribution to the Erev. So once again, the neighborhood dentist who saw patients in a path between two walled chatzeros that contained a pit of water was invited by the residents of the chatzer as they were walking to the gatehouse to join them for a late Erev Shabbos get-together meal. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf Pei Aleph. So the symbol for Pei Aleph is a grandpa. So here goes. The grumpy grandpa. Grumpy grandpa. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Aleph. The grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the Erev. Which reminds us, the mission on the bottom of Daf Peh Amud Beis stated that according to Rabbi Eliezer, b'chol arvi mishtadfin chutz min ha'mayim min ha'melech, any food may be used to make an Erev or Shituv except water and salt. Rabbi Yeshua said, kikar hu Erev, only a whole loaf of bread is valid as an Erev. Even if a loaf that is baked from a saw of flour is slightly broken, it may not be used, whereas a loaf the size of an Isser, as long as it's whole, may be used as an Erev. Rabbi Yosef ben Shaul said in the name of Rebbe that the reason for Rabbi Yeshua's ruling is mishum eva, because of ill will. Rashi explains that the residents who contributed whole loaves might complain to those who contributed only broken loaves. Rav Ashi explained to Rav Acha Breid Rava that even if all the residents contributed only broken loaves, Rabbi Yeshua would not approve because Shema Yachzer Davar Kukulo. Perhaps the situation will revert to its problematic state that people become accustomed to donate broken loaves even when others donate whole loaves. So the grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the Erev while he was waiting in the long line to pay the butcher Erev Shabbos, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Nosen Adam Ma L'Chenveni L'Nachtem K'dei Sheyizkel L'Erev, a person may give a ma to a grocer or baker so that the grocer or baker can confer upon him ownership in the Erev or Shituv made from the grocer's wine and the baker's loaf of bread, whereas according to the Chachamim, L'Zachu L'Ma'osav, his money does not acquire a share of the Erev for him. The Gemara asks how Rabbi Eliezer could permit payment alone. Ha'l'Mashach, he didn't do Mashicha and bring the food into his possession, which is a Derabban requirement to acquire an object. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabbi Bar Avahu, also Rabbi Eliezer Ka'arba Prakim Vishan. Rabbi Eliezer treated this matter like the case of four seasons of the year. The Gemara cites a Mishnah Chulin that enumerates the four busiest days of the year for butchers as the days before Shmini Atzeres, Pesach, Shavuos, and Rosh Hashanah. The Rabban waived the necessity for Mashicha on these days because of these special circumstances. Rashi explains that Rabbi Eliezer rules that in this case of Erev, the Rabban also waived the need for Mashicha to facilitate making the Erev because it's for Shabbos. So the grumpy grandpa who complained when a neighbor brought him a broken loaf of bread to join the Erev while he was waiting in the long line to pay the butcher Erev Shavuos got insulted when someone else gave him money for the Erev and asked him to act as his shaliach. Which reminds us, the mission continues, Modim Chachamim b'shar kol adam shezachu ma'osav. The Chachamim concur that in regard to all their people, who are not merchants, to whom the resident gave money with which to acquire for him a portion of the Erev, that his money acquires for him ownership in a portion of the Erev food. Rashi explains that when the person says, obtain for me a possession in the Erev, his intent is different. Since ordinary people do not sell loaves of bread, he intended to merely appoint the other person to act as his shaliach, where the money is being provided for the service rather than payment for the loaf of bread. In the case of the grocer, if the person had instructed him to make an Erev for him, the Erev would be valid. Daf Pei Beis. So the Simmer Daf Pei Beis is a pub. So here goes. The pub owner, that must be more on Daf Pei Beis. The pub owner was outraged that the Erev Tchumim Setup Committee forgot to inform him about the existence of the Erev, which reminds us. The opening mission of the 8th parak discusses setting up communal Eruvi Tchumim and states, it's permitted to be used by whomever accepted to have his Makom Shvisa at the site of the Erev while it's still day. But if you only accepted it after dark, he's prohibited, for one cannot make an Erev after dark. The Gemara suggests that the ruling that the Erev must be accepted while it's still day implies Ein Brera. There's no retroactive clarification, because if there was Brera, the person could say after dark that the Erev was retroactively acceptable to him while it was still daytime. Rav Ashi rejects his proof, saying that the mission was distinguishing between Hodi'uhu v'lo Hodi'uhu, a case where the makers of the Erev informed him of the existence of the Erev and where they did not inform him. Rashi explains that Brera can only retroactively clarify when the potential for clarification existed. In this case, the person had no knowledge of the Erev until Shabbos began. So the pub owner was outraged that the Eruvei Tchumim Setup Committee forgot to inform him about the existence of the Erev. After his wife participated with her 5-year-old child in mind, which reminds us, Rav Asi said, Katan ben Shesh Yotze be'Erev Imo, a child even in his 6th year can fulfill his obligation to make an Erev with his mother's Erev. Rashi explains that she doesn't need to formally give the child ownership of the Erev, as the child is considered a part of her and it's assumed that she had the child in mind, since he cannot be without her. So the pub owner was outraged that the Eruv Tchumim Setup Committee forgot to inform him about the existence of the Erev, after his wife participated with her 5-year-old child in mind, bringing 2 small weekday meals that tasted quite bland. Which reminds, the next Mishnah asks, Kamahu Shi'ura, what is the quantity required for Eruv Tchumim? Mazon Shtei Su'udas L'Kol Echad V'Echad, food for 2 meals for each and every person who want to participate in the Erev. Rabbi Meir says, Mazon L'Kol V'Lo L'Shabbos, the quantity of food for weekday meals, not Shabbos meals. Rabbi Yudah said, L'Shabbos V'Lo L'Kol, for Shabbos meals and not for weekday meals. But they both intend to rule linearly, meaning it's determined by the meal which is smaller. Rashi explains that Rabbi Meir holds that people eat more at Shabbos meals because of the tastiness of the food, whereas Rabbi Yudah holds that people eat less at Shabbos meals because they eat 3 Su'udos on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Yosef Brei the Rabbah, whose view does his father accept? And he answered that Rabbah accepted Rabbi Meir's opinion of weekday meals. Rabbi Yosef said that he too accepted Rabbi Meir's opinion, for if one accepted Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that a Shabbos meal is smaller than a weekday meal, then there's difficulty with the popular saying, Rav Tachal Besima Shchiach, it, referring to the stomach, leaves room for a tasty dish, which lends credence to the notion that people eat more on Shabbos because of the tastiness of the food. Daf Pei Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Pei Gimel is a pogo stick. So here goes. The reigning pogo stick champ. Pogo stick champ? That must mean we're on Daf Pei Gimel. The reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Sipuri saws of grain, which reminds us. The Mishnah on Daf Pei Beis on the base discussed the quantity of bread required to make an Erev, which led to the Gemara analyzing specific measurements. A brice on this stuff teaches that the Yerushalmi saw is larger than the saw in the Midbar by 6, which Rashi explains to mean what we call a fifth, and the Tzipori saw is larger than the Yerushalmi saw by 6, which we refer to as a fifth. The Midbar saw was in use when the Torah was given and had a volume of 144 kibbutzim. The Yerushalmi saw was introduced during the time of Bais Rishon and had a volume of 173 kibbutzim, and the Tzipori saw was adopted when the Sanhedrin was located in Tzipori, which occurred during Rebbe's leadership. It was 207 kibbutzim. So the reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Tzipori saws of grain, while the kid who ate more than an omer for breakfast got an upset stomach, which reminds us, it was taught in a braisa regarding the mitzvah of challah that the pasuk says, Reishis arisosechem, the first of your doughs. Your doughs implies that the dough from which one must separate challah is your dough that you had in the midbar. How much was the dough in the midbar, meaning the daily portion of man? The omer, a series of eifah, and the omer is 1/10 of an eifah. The eifah was equal to 3 saw, so that the omer, according to the size of the dough in the midbar, was 3/10 of a saw. The braisa concludes, Ha'ochel b'mida zo har zeh bari mevorach, one who eats as much as this measure, referring to the minimum quantity specified for challah, is healthy and blessed. If he eats more, he's considered a glutton, and if he eats less than this, his innards are defective. So the reigning pogo stick champ easily jumped over piles of desert, Yerushalmi, and Tzipori saws of grain, while the kid who ate more than an omer for breakfast got an upset stomach when he jumped down to a platform and he couldn't jump back up. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah introduces the principle that the use of an Eri is assigned to those from whom it's easier to use. The Gemara lists six cases of Eris accessible to two Chatzeros, who have each made a separate Erev. There's Machogs between Rav and Shmuel in the case of Lezeb Shoshul, Lezeb Zerika, a given area which is only accessible to the residents in one Chatzer by lowering objects in that area, and only accessible to the residents in the other Chatzer by throwing objects to the area. Rav holds they're both forbidden since the degree of difficulty in using the area is equal. Shmuel holds that the residents who can lower into the area are permitted to use it because Tashmisho Benachas. Its use is with ease. Lowering down requires less effort than throwing up. The Gemara on the next Amud attempts to determine if the halacha is going to Rav or Shmuel, but fails to come to a resolution. Daf Pei Dalet. So the Simur Pei Dalet is a launch pad. So here goes. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad. That must mean we're on Daf Pei Dalet. The residents who lived on the same level as the Merpesis use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, which reminds us. The Daf continues with Malchus being Rav and Shmuel whether Shilshul lowering down is considered easier than Zerika, throwing something up, or not, in terms of determining who has rights to use a given area. The Gemara attempts to bring a support to Shmuel that lowering down is easier from the Mishnah. The Mishnah stated, Anshe Chatzar v'Anshe Merpeses Sheshach v'Leirvu. If the residents of a Chatzar and the residents of a Merpeses forgot to make an Erev, Kol Shegavoa Sarat Tfachim v'Merpeses, Pachas Mekanul Chatzar, whichever area is 10 Tfachim high, above the four, the Chatzar belongs to the Merpeses, and whichever area is elevated less than this belongs to the Chatzar. This seems to support Shmuel, since the residents of the Merpeses actually live in an upper story and make use of the Merpeses by lowering things to it. The Gemara defends Rav by saying that just as the term Merpeses was used in a different case to mean the residents who live on the same level of the Merpeses and not above it, so too here. In that case, the residents of the Merpeses have access to it directly, which is why they can use the area on Shabbos, and those in the Chatzar that require throwing up to it cannot. So the residents who lived on the same level as the Merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19th Tefach wall, which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to bring a support to Rav from a price that states, Anshe Chatzar v'Anshe Aliyah, Sheshach v'Leirvu. If the residents of a Chatzar and the residents of a second story forgot to make an Erev, the residents of the Chatzar may make use of a ledge that protrudes from the wall if it's below 10 Tefachim, and the residents in the upper story may make use of the ledge if it's above 10 Tefachim. This implies that if the ledge were in the middle and 10 Tefachim away from both, it would be restricted from use since it's equally accessible to both. Rav Nachman answered, here in the Brice, we're discussing a 19 Tefach high wall from which a ledge projects. If the ledge is below 10 Tefachim from ground level, it's accessible to the Chatzar as a Pesach, which makes it exclusively theirs. If it's above 10 Tefachim from the ground, it's accessible to the residents of the upper story as a Pesach, making it exclusively theirs. So the residents who lived on the same level as the Merpeses use it as a launch pad for their fireworks, as neighbors below standing on a ledge sticking out from the 19 Tefach wall and the ones above who drew water in case a fire broke out, all eagerly watch. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings the support for Rav's position from a Mishnah on Daf Pei Zayin and Beis. It states, Shtei Kezuzro Zolomo Mizo, two balconies, where one is higher than the other and the upper balcony has the Mechitza Tehuya, a 4x4 Tefach hole with the 10 Tefach partition coming down from it in order to draw water from below. The Gemara later explains that this partition was built in partnership with the residents of the lower balcony, so that they will have drisus aregel, the right of passage, to use the upper balcony to draw water. Therefore, neither balcony can use the hole without an Erev. Since the upper balcony uses the hole with Shoshul, and the lower balcony uses it with Zrika and with Shoshul, and the Brisa considers them equals, this seems to support Rav's position. The Gemara answers that the cases where the residents of the lower balcony go up via steps to the upper balcony to get water, which means they also use it only with Shoshul, and even Shmuel agrees it's forbidden for both. Abaya gives a second answer. All right, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from Sechus, Brachus, and Shabbos. Number 1. Which Tafti learned that the Chachamim agree that a resident can give a neighbor money to acquire a portion of the Erev since his intent is to make him a shliach? That's on Daf. Pay off. Good. Number 2. Which Tafti learned that a haystack between two chetzeros can be used to feed the animals since there's no concern that it'll be diminished below 10 Tefachim? That's on Daf. Ein test. Good. Number 3. Which Tafti when a wife can contribute to a shittuv on behalf of the family without the consent from her husband? That's on Daf. Pay. Good. Number 4. Which Tafti of a Machlokes, if a path with a water pit in it is separated from two chetzeros by walls, whether it requires a slat or reed in it? That's on Daf. Pay. Good. Number 5. Which Tafti do we have the case of two balconies with the upper one having a partition to draw water, and it was where the lower balcony took steps up to use it. That's on Duff. Pei Dalet. Good, number six. Wish something went. If all the residents of the chutz were eating a meal together and then Shabbos began and they hadn't made an erev, the bread they were served could serve as the erev. That's on Duff. Pehe. Good, number seven. Wish something when Rav Yehuda says one needs to lift the barrel being used to make a sheet of at least a tevach off the ground. That's on Duff. Ayin Tes. Good, number eight. Wish something learned the different measures for a saw. That's on Duff. Pei Gimel. Good, number nine. Wish something when Malkos Rav Miran Rav Yehuda whether the two meals required to make the Erev are the size of weekday meals or Shabbos meals. That's on Duff. Pei Beis. Good, and number ten. Wish that we have a case where a ledge was protruding from a 19th tefach wall. That's on Duff. Pei Dalet. Good, now the three bonus questions. Number one. Which stuff do you have when the braiding is the malacha of bona? That's on Duff. Tzadi Hei and Shabbos. Good. Number two. Which stuff do you have when the reason why Rabbi Gamliel was deposed as Nasi? That's on Duff. Chav Zayin and Brachas. Good. And number three. Which stuff do we discuss seeing Miriam's well, the bear of Miriam? That's on Duff. Lamed Hei and Shabbos. Excellent. All right. That concludes our pop quiz. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman. Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.